I buried the
Peeping Tom stranger whom I'm shot in the field. Buried him in the shelter belt of a neighbor's farm late at night. I even etched an epitaph. Here lies an asshole high into the tree bark, having climbed as high as I could up it. They'll probably find the body and maybe even the message in about 30 years or so. I'll surely be dead or close enough by then. It's time for Merkin Eve again. That ancient festival held here every 3,000 years. We shall shave off all our pubic hair for the event and get the most outlandish merkins or pubic wigs available, all the colors of the world included. Sometimes on one single merkin, burning sage merkins, wafting cleaning smoke throughout the event. Cotton candy merkins for the sweet toothed. After a hard rain, I found the tip of a piece of ancient carved wood sticking up from Southfield. I pulled it out, and it was a wooden beak. So old it was very light, but hard as a rock. A long wooden beak. Slots on the side to strap it onto your head. I woke up a little before sunrise. I went outside to piss in the fresh air of a brightening darkness. A heavy fog was on the land. I puffed by all around me, bloated shrouds of vapor. Decided to take my clothes off and walk in the mystic fog. Kept my jeans wrapped around my neck in case of unexpected encounters and I was off. Across the field with my shoes still on to protect me from stickers. It was like walking in a dream in another world. At one point I thought I heard a far off low bell. A couple sub bass booms from some distant car's sound system. For a couple minutes I got disorientated. And I thought I'd passed over into the neighbor's land. But the shelter belt bordering the fields came into view. A phantom tree line. I stood there for a long time, enjoying the sensation of being naked in this dreamland. During the pause, a deer passed just 40 feet from me. Even that close, it was a silhouette in the fog. In 1981, the scarecrow met a woodfish. The woodfish is a fish with the body that looks like a branch from a tree. It's the head of a wise old man, and it came to hobble across the land. The next body of water, its little twiggy legs. Scarecrow and woodfish had a long conversation about the circular history of time and how this will be and all that will be already was. I and my friends were all around on the pond of kind bud, a pound of kind bud. We brought an ounce of it with us at the abandoned mansion at the edge of town. We smoked it while exploring. After 7 hours, we still had not seen all the rooms. Even though we broke up into two groups, it doesn't seem possible we go back next weekend and try to map it out. That's what we'll do. Summer solstice. The festivals are the most sexy yet feverish of the year. Everyone in costumes and drunk or high. I was both, and I followed a girl who was naked, with her personal pink parts painted, a neon day glow shining glitter blue. She had a strap-on wood beak around her face, with a ruffle of black bird feathers conditioned till they were soft as silk. At random times, the tower bells would ring out, and the people would traditionally couple the nearest would-be lovers. I loved her from behind that night. Her perfect ass arched high as I slid back and forth in the pocket of froth. Libby was under his uncle's place. He enjoyed it over there, over at his uncle's. All these crazy young adults with their mystic talk and revolutionary ways. Some of the people who went there to buy drugs from his uncle claimed to be veterans of the late Summer War, where the New Consciousness Movement met its Waterloo. Peeping Tom has a ghost phone. It's an old landline phone his grandma owned. He uses it to call up past versions of girls he lusted after. When he is gone, when he is on, the old drunken pervert from the other end jacking off, and this 20-something guy she knows as well creep up to the next level. Keep having this dream that I am lost in a heavy fog, like walking in the center of a cloud. All sounds softened, muted by the layers of white coiling mist. Somewhere a bell clangs. I see a pale walking body form out of the mist. A topless woman with full jiggly breasts. I don't get a look at her face, a faint impression of braided black hair, and she was gone. I watched her go, but she's almost instantly swallowed up by the fog. The bell sounds again, more shrill and annoying, and it's the alarm clock. Time to get up and go to work. 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 Another dream I kept having over and over again. This one where the elves dressed in traditional finery and are dancing in a circle around a bonfire of mystic herbs that keep them mildly high. In the dream, I am an unseen watcher, concealed by the shelter belt of trees. A thin, graceful people, straight and tall. Weaving in graceful patterns. Taller and thinner than humans, all of them with long golden hair that smelled sweet and sultry. The moon had a strange purple shade to it, a wavering color like a liquid light show. A holiday that happens once every 1,000 years. A moon event not known, not in any known charts. Sinkhole opened up in the front field when I was 9. Dad said, don't go near it. The ground around it was hollow. It'll make collapse and drown you in the underground river of the elven dead. But oftentimes, as a kid, Mom and Dad would take off for hours and leave me alone on the farm. I checked out the sinkhole. One early evening when they were out, Sink was as wide around as a car. I was careful not to get too close, but I sat near the edge. Strange breeze wafted up from the sinkhole. It smelled like mud and rain. It smelled like metal and blood. The grass around its edge waved like beckoning fingers. My next encounter was creepy and freaky. I woke from a dream to hear a general sound of several sets of wind chimes blowing in the night wind. I went outside in the foggy haze to follow the sound. I nearly stepped into that sinkhole. Someone or something set up the four neighbors' set of chimes suspended over the sinkhole by a crude scrap wood frame. A fucking trap. I have been fascinated with that ancient great ziggurat they have discovered while making a sandpit. A buried building so huge and out of place here in Kansas that history shall have to be rewritten. Grandpa used to have a really old black weather vane he got from his grandfather. In his honor, I climbed the ropes that led to the site and I climbed up the great building to the very top. There I placed that weather vane. You cannot see it unless you're on top of the building, so I don't think they'll find it for a while. I like to imagine the weather vane as a fierce rooster of black metal spinning on windy days. And it's the kind of thing that keeps disturbed minds like mine amused.